How did the world get to be the way it is? There were major historical events, of course, and sweeping technical changes, but a lot of the factors that went into making the world we know were tiny, small inventions and innovations that had major impacts. You can learn about these in the new book, Nuts and Bolts, Seven Small Inventions That Changed the World in a Big Way, by Roma Agrawal. Roma is an award-winning structural engineer who's designed bridges, skyscrapers, and sculptures, and worked on the Shard in London, the tallest building in Western Europe. She's lectured widely and has presented TV and radio shows for the BBC and Discovery. Here she is to share five of her key insights.
Hi, my name is Roma Agrawal, and my latest book is called Nuts and Bolts. It's about seven small inventions that changed the world in a big way. Today, I wanted to share five insights from my book to all you amazing folks out there. Because this book is not just about the science and the technology of engineering, but it's also about the effects that these little pieces of engineering have had on people, the hidden stories of people that have created this engineering, and so on. So my first little insight to share is a story about why Americans in 16th and 17th century US used to burn their houses down. Now, once upon a time, when Britain had colonized the US, that was a time when iron and steel were expensive, they were hard to come by, and creating nails or forging nails required a very manual process. We didn't have the machines to create them, so they were expensive and precious. And so the British colonizers said, well, we're not going to send our precious nails to those Americans who we've subjugated, which meant that there was a shortage of nails in the US. And so, of course, a lot of homes in the US are built from wood, which is a great natural resource available. But because the nails were so expensive, if somebody was going to leave their house and relocate somewhere else and build a new home for themselves, what they would do is they would burn their house down, and then from the smoldering ashes would collect up all these precious nails and then carry them with them to their next location. And it got so bad that in the 1600s, the state of Virginia actually had to pass a law that banned people from burning their own houses down. I love that story. I think that's one of the favorite stories from my book. The second story that I wanted to share was the fact that my daughter wouldn't exist without the lens. So the lens is one of the other inventions that I talk about, and lenses are curved pieces of glass or other transparent materials that allow you to bend light. And I discuss how lenses have given humans superpowers. So for me, I wear glasses, and so just being able to see on a daily basis is something I'm very grateful for. But lenses have allowed us to use microscopes to look at tiny things, discover the world of bacteria, of blood cells, and so on. And it's also allowed us to look at very massive, faraway things like our solar system, other planets, galaxies, and our wide universe. So the reason that my daughter wouldn't exist without this amazing invention is because she is an IVF baby. And what that required was for somebody to extract an egg from my body, extract sperm from my husband's body, and then under a microscope, somebody injected a single sperm into my egg. And that turned into an embryo, which was then transplanted back into my womb and allowed to, you know, a chance to become a child. And so that's how I got pregnant. And I basically wouldn't be able to have biological children if it wasn't for this incredible invention, the lens. I also really love the story of the lens because photography is incredibly important. Photography didn't originally use lenses. We used to have pinhole cameras, but it meant that the images that we could capture were very, very limited in their scope. And the lens has allowed us to capture images that are small, that are far away, allowed us to zoom in and look at features. And photography has had a huge impact on society. It's allowed us to understand and see cultures, animals, food from all around the world. It's even got political impact. So Frederick Douglass was the most photographed American of his time. It wasn't Abraham Lincoln. And he used that to humanize Black people in the US during his abolitionist campaign. So there is a huge societal impact of the lens. The third one I wanted to talk about was the impact of hidden figures of incredible people from marginalized backgrounds or communities that haven't achieved the fame or the money or the recognition that they deserve for their work. So engineering has historically been a very male-dominated industry, and the patent system and so on have been very dominated by the West. And this means we've lost a lot of stories out there. And my book has some incredible stories, one being of the woman Josephine Cochrane, who invented the first automatic dishwasher. And in fact, she was able to obtain a patent, even though there were so many barriers around her. There is Miriam Menkin, who was the woman that did a huge amount of research and all the experiments that allowed her men, the bosses who were men, to fertilize and create the process of embryo. But she was, in fact, the first person to fertilize an embryo outside the human body. I write about Mary Hopkinson, who was the lab technician that enabled, again, all the experimentation to happen, which allowed the invention of the heart-lung bypass machine, which revolutionized heart surgery. I talk about people from other parts of the world outside the global north. I talk about Jagdish Chandra Bose, who was an Indian scientist and engineer, who did incredible research into all sorts of topics. But in my case, I've written about his work on transmitting radio waves, which are a type of electromagnetic wave. So they form an important part of my magnet chapter. And he invented a device called a coherer, which was responsible for receiving and interpreting electromagnetic waves. And so without him, the radio wouldn't exist. And he didn't believe in patenting his work. And I also talk about Kenjiro Takayanagi, who was a Japanese engineer who invented the first all-electric television. Again, he did not patent his work, and records of his invention were destroyed during the Second World War. So I think it's really incredibly important that we broaden out our understanding of where engineering and science come from, who does all of this science and engineering, and try and find the stories of some of these incredible human beings that, like I said, just didn't get the recognition that they deserved. So my book is packed full of such amazing figures. My fourth insight is to share how colonialism and engineering are linked. So we've talked a little bit about colonialism and nails in the US, but I specifically wanted to talk about the use of the telegraph system in India. Now, the telegraph system has electromagnetism as the basis of engineering behind it. So by changing electrical currents, you can create signals which magnets are used to interpret. And this allowed the British in India to send messages over really, really long distances. So I talk about the fact that it was a Scottish doctor called William O'Shaughnessy who set up the telegraph system in India across quite a vast swathe of the country, despite the geographical, topographical challenges. But what's really interesting to me is that the system was set up for oppression. So of course it wasn't set up to serve the Indian people. It was set up to serve the British rulers and the British troops. And so there are parts of India that don't have a telegraph system, or didn't at the time, because the British felt that those were not areas of high risk for rebellion and so on. And again, what's super interesting is that, in fact, my grandfather and my uncle and my parents used to use the telegram system, which was built by the British colonizers after India gained independence from them. So there's a really interesting story there about engineering and colonialism. I also go on to chart the history of communication within my family. So going from the telegram to the telephone, and the fact that telephones also have magnetism at their hearts. I talk about the television, which also has magnetism. And of course, the internet and all of our electronics and systems rely on electromagnetism, the magic of electromagnetism, to work. So the fifth and final point I wanted to talk about was breast pumps. Now, I am a woman, I'm a mother, and I gave birth to my daughter and I breastfed her. And I found it an excruciating and awful experience. But a little piece of engineering called a breast pump actually really helped me because it meant that I could extract my child's next meal at a time that was convenient to me. So I wasn't continuously just tied down by her lack of schedule. And it meant that my husband could also pick up some of the feeds, especially during the night. Now, when I was researching the breast pump as part of my pump chapter, which is the seventh chapter in my book, I guess was surprised, but also I shouldn't be surprised that historically speaking, breast pumps have never been designed by women or by people that would use this technology. They were inspired by machines used to milk cows. So that was kind of unsurprising that I felt like a cow when I was attached to these machines that were pumping milk out of me. And then through the ages, various different contraptions were created, most of which had some kind of bulb that you attached to the breast and that you sucked on in order to get the milk out. But I really can't see that these were anything like efficient pieces of engineering to do the job that they were designed for. As time went on, coming into the 20th century, engineers did start to get a bit more involved in the design of these pumps. And unfortunately, the ones that were driven by electricity were really large and cumbersome, and so they could only be used by women in hospitals in kind of emergency sort of cases. The first electric breast pumps that could be used in the home were only really created in the 1990s, which isn't that long ago. I was a teenager in the 1990s, sort of. And the first sort of records I can find of women actually saying, do you know what, I'm going to rip up the rule book of how breast pumps should be designed and design something from scratch was only in the last decade, not even in the last decade, like the last few years. And that's the first time somebody actually said, well, what does a mother or a breastfeeding parent actually want from a breast pump? You know, we don't want to feel like a cow. We don't want to be hooked up to a wall, hiding in some back room in the office. We want the pump to be silent and not make the awful noise that most of the current ones make. We want it to be efficient. We want them to be discreet. And then the first pumps that actually fit inside your bra were created, which are silent. They use a special type of pump called a piezoelectric pump, which I've described in the book and explained how they work. And you can kind of go about your daily business while pumping for your child. So I think that that is a really cool story, and probably not many engineering books out there would contain a story about breast pumps. So I'm really proud of that one. So thank you so much for listening. Again, I am Roma Agrawal. Nuts and Bolts is about 7 small inventions that change the world in a big way. It's available now in the US and also in the UK and all around the world in a few different languages. Will be coming to you soon as well. And if you also want to check out some of my previous work, I am the author of Built, which is the hidden stories behind our structures, because I'm a structural engineer by background, and so I share how we build some of the biggest structures in our world. And there's a children's version of that called How Was That Built, which has been beautifully illustrated by an artist called Katie Hickey. So I hope you found this interesting. Thank you so much for listening, and hopefully see you next time.
Thank you, Roma. That was Roma Agrawal with 5 big ideas from Nuts and Bolts, 7 small inventions that change the world in a big way. You might also like our book bite for How Infrastructure Works, Inside the Systems That Shape Our World by Deb Chhatra. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.